Welcome back to the Reptiles With podcast. Listen, before we get started, we have to address the elephant in the room. We've all seen Brian's video. We're not going to talk about it today because I personally feel like it's a little bit inappropriate. Out of respect for him, his loved ones, his family, I just don't think that we should. If you want to know more information about that, there's a bunch of it online and et cetera. All right, yep. Cool? Let's get the ball rolling. They're trying to ban iguanas.
Yep.
All over the place.
That's now nice. I'm pissed, bro. I'm donating to US Arc, bro.
You knew it was going to happen.
No, I'm donating to it. I'm donating, bro. I have a rhino, bro. Before, I didn't give a fuck because I didn't have one. Now I got one, bro.
That's so funny.
I'm just kidding. I really don't give a fuck.
Oh,
you know what, though? I was waiting. So they banned iguana maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
In Florida.
3 years ago. I don't know. Yeah, in Florida, several years ago. I was surprised that they didn't also add in like Tinosaurus similis, Mexican spiny tails, because those are also down south. And it's surprising that they're also putting like Cyclura in there. I mean, if you go by Crutchfield's face, you'll find a bunch of
you're so dumb
Cyclura around. So thank I mean,
you. Thank you.
But
you will not. Thank you. You won't. I know. I would know because I live by there.
I mean, people. Oh, have told, yeah. Other people have said they found yeah. rhinos.
Not populations,
Cubans.
No. But every yeah. now and then, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. You see one walking. You see Crutchfield. I'm like, come back here, buddy.
Yo, allegedly FWC. Fuck you if you're watching. Fuck you. But how you get your rhino?
She was naturally. Yeah.
Well, it's illegal to get them from Dominican Republic.
You got them from Haiti.
So what do you mean? What do you mean, bro?
She was in nature.
Where at?
She was outside.
Natural.
Where?
Around.
Where?
That's so funny.
Central Florida.
You see, that's a fucking problem.
No,
bro.
I know.
But my point was that I'm surprised they didn't do it then. They weren't banning iguanas earlier.
Oh, yeah, but they gotta get little bigger. By little, bro. They gotta grab little by little. No, that's not the reason why they're adding all that shit to the list.
And this
that's
is bigger because this is not only Florida.
Is US Arc saying this?
No. This is everywhere, no? This is not just Florida.
I don't fucking know.
I'm pretty sure this
is just Florida. I thought it was just Florida, bro.
We're starting the year hot with fake.
Yo, this is bullshit.
Look at your phone. It says US Arc Florida right there.
I just see some of the posts. And bro, listen, this is the way I see it. I see it. I'm like, damn, rhinos are about to be illegal. That's fucking crazy.
Damn, this is Florida.
I'm not surprised.
I'm a liar, bro.
Yeah, you are bullshitting on your ass.
Yo, I suck. All right, so check this out.
Because the list has all the Florida stuff and then just says iguana scratched out. Iguana. But there are some loopholes in there, bro.
Okay.
So it's like subspecies or...
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to read exactly what... well, for the most part, what US Arc Florida posted. HB1033 seeks to expand the ban on green iguanas to include all iguana species. And then it lists...
That's funny.
What?
Okay, when you say iguana species, are you talking about...
Shut up. Don't tell them the truth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a loophole in there. Just leave it.
Okay. So I'm going to have Tino read the species because he understands Latin.
Okay, so we are looking at assumedly all genera of the family Iguanidae, also Amblyrhynchus, Brachylophus, Cacrix, Conolophus, Tinosaura, Cyclura, Dipsosaurus... That's your boys.
Yeah.
Iguana and Saromalis.
Yeah.
So any of the iguanids. That makes almost iguanids. No sense.
But when you say iguanids, that makes
more
sense.
But listen. That is what US Arc Florida wrote.
Right.
That is not what I saw on their writing. Mm-hmm. What I saw on their writing is a scratch iguana. So I hope they leave it like that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I hope they leave it like that. See the fuck up they just did.
So they write, Florida is the world center of conservation for imperiled iguana species. Some of the largest assurance colonies of endangered iguanas are found at Florida facilities. The reptile industry has contributed to raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for iguana conservation through Iguana Fest and coordinating with conservationists. In addition to its negative conservation impacts, this bill further degrades the freedoms of reptile keepers and small business within Florida. HB1033 also bans the sales of dogs, cats, and pet shops.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys read the bill straight from the government?
No,
by any chance?
No, I just saw the post that people are throwing out there.
Okay. So I'm not going to read it either. The thing is, I just clicked it right now. Oh, it's not that long.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
I'm reading it
right now. No.
So Three out of the four of us have iguanas. Eric, when are you getting your iguana before the
ban? You see.
Wait, what do you have?
Me?
You don't know?
I have a pectinata.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I forgot.
Well, if this is actually real and everything, I'm going to have to start getting something.
Yeah.
Just to have that assurance. I'm like, all right.
And me grandfathered in, bro.
Yeah.
You could just put fucking Cheggy under your thing and say I have one, and then if anybody ever comes see your shit, I'll be like, take my fucking iguana.
Yeah, say it on the say it live. On the
that podcast. Was so alleged. You never heard anything more alleged.
Say it live on the pod, you fucking idiot.
Nobody knows what Cheggy is, so he's fine.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I've never said what Cheggy is at all in the fucking 3 years that we've been doing this.
But listen,
Cheggy
listen.
With a K.
Yeah. Listen, I don't. The only thing I see, I don't understand why they're going after everything.
Yeah, like the other keenness there. I was
it's kind of random. It's kind of random. They're just going for it all.
It's the same reason that they put all the big snakes on the.
Yeah, I guess. That whole thing. Yeah, it's just an in case thing, I guess. I think, like I always think, it's a lot of the fault of the industry because of the view we gave ourselves, and that it's not even ourselves right now. That goes for like for generations even before us. We did not put ourselves in a good look. We fucking didn't. The people before us fucking didn't. Now, these fucking normies don't know shit about fuck, and they're freaking out about anything we do.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's, like, not directly our fault, but it is the industry's fault. That's why we're fighting it, trying to educate people, trying to get to... And I hope it happens, but at the same time, I'm like, this could have... It could have happened way earlier. It should have happened earlier, honestly, when shit was going south.
Yeah.
Now, shit is not as bad, I don't think, but...
It's also interesting that they would go for the iguanids when there's probably other species that probably make a little bit more sense. Like anoles, they're not banning anoles.
They're an iguanid.
Control anoles.
Okay. They're not in the genus as specified.
Yeah.
So that's one of the, that's like, okay, weird.
Yeah, but the
if you're talking solely about invasive presence.
But the thing with the anoles is that a lot of them did come from the plant, except for the large ones and certain species.
But people still keep them. And they're still getting them.
Yeah, but it's like, they're not worried about those as much. I don't see it as much. I don't think it's that visible to them.
Okay.
Like, if they see a night anole, you normally think that shit is an iguana. You know what I mean? Like,
so
it's like
one time, my uncle caught a night anole, and he's like, I caught this iguana for you.
Okay. Well, there's... I don't know. So, I will say this, too. When the iguana ban went in, people would still, like, when I was in Gainesville, people would call and be like, so can I have, like, a blue iguana? And I'm like, okay, when you say blue iguana, do you mean iguana iguana? Or and they're like, oh, I don't know, it's a blue one. It's a blue iguana. Yeah, like,
so they don't know the difference.
They probably, FWC was probably like, we're tired.
Fucking
ban
nerd.
All the iguanas.
Just
iguana, no, you cannot have any iguana. Yeah.
I just like how they, like, pretty it up because they're like, we know that people don't want the sales of dogs and cats at shops. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I'm going to sneak this iguana thing in this dog and cat bill just so everybody could want to sign it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's what happens.
I think, what do you think? Bills. You think it's going to pass?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yes.
I think it is. So. And if it is, it is what it is, bro.
I'll fight Florida. Look,
and this is one of the reasons I don't support USAR. It's like, what really can you do?
Bro, but okay, there's not really I've thought much about it. That I'm not going to lie. I've thought about it and it don't make sense to me.
What doesn't make sense to you?
Like, what exactly do they do? Do they just go to these hearings that we just went to and like that doesn't do anything?
That's part of it. That is part of it, lobbying.
What else?
But it's also about conducting lawsuits.
How many lawsuits are there?
Right now,
at least
all that I know of, all that I know is the coffee one.
No, there's at least two lawsuits,
and then an old iguana one. That's it.
Yeah, they're doing the iguana.
I'm just fucking with you. I just threw a number.
It takes time. Lawsuits take time.
They do take time, but how many are we doing at a time? Are we donating more to protect this, or are we donating more to protect?
You remember the first time they banned iguanas?
Yeah,
and they said that's unconstitutional. That was a lawsuit. People were like, "Hey, that is unconstitutional. You can't do that." Or a threat of lawsuit. It was a threat of lawsuit because they were like, "That's unconstitutional."
Because of the wording, and then he just fixed the wording,
and then he just fixed the wording.
It's like,
So it's the little things like that. You have to fight the law in certain things and be like, "Well, they're not doing this. It's unconstitutional to take this right away from people." That kind of thing, and that's their basis.
I think what it is really is, I mean, they have to create some kind of. This is the thing. If there was no noise, the bill just gets passed.
Of course.
Right?
So
they have to bring attention to this
thing. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. But how much money are we giving them for one person to show up and fight?
And get 2 minutes
to
speak.
Is that like...
I think the thing is that they got to have money for the lawyers, God forbid, when things go down.
Yeah.
They have to have something allocated for that. I mean, that's where that money would go.
And I think there are a couple active lawsuits. I think.
We got to look into that. Yeah. Because it's like...
Sounds like we need more information.
Yeah, at this fucking point. Because I don't know. It's kind of odd. It's kind of odd. I don't understand.
But I think at this stage, it is important to have an organization that's there to create awareness for this thing. Because
It's good. I agree. Awareness of government actions is needed. You know, otherwise, we'll end up in World War III and we'll have no idea why.
That's a jump.
It is a cup, but it's the truth.
Florida iguanas!
No, yeah, but it is true. You know, yeah. People don't stay informed, and they don't have means to be informed. Yeah, you get fucked. No. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens, bro. I am keeping mine regardless.
Yeah,
and if they want me to chip that bitch, I'm chipping that bitch.
That's another thing. They're going to give us regulations. Yeah. They're not going to do a pull-up ban.
If they want me to make a concrete enclosure, guess what? I don't breed. I only got one animal. I got this shit. Yeah. Y'all motherfuckers, I want to have 100. That's on you, bro.
I went to the Reptile House Serpentarium, and say what you will about the place, I will have no further opinion about the place. But they have an iguana enclosure, and I was looking at it like, unless the cement base for the regulations are in the ground, because I can't see it, this enclosure does not meet regulations, you know? And so one of the employees there was saying like, oh, yeah, yeah, like FWC is always giving us grief for this enclosure.
Who
like,
was it?
Well, because it doesn't work. I don't know those guys.
Well, what did he look like?
Long greasy hair? White dude, long hair? Brown hair.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know he is. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Okay, but like hilarious. He's like they're always giving us grief for this enclosure. I'm like, probably because it's inadequate. They got the double door, but I don't know if they have the cement base. So I'm like, I mean, if you're not doing what FTC is telling you to do, duh.
And they still give them a chance, bro. It's not that fucking hard. It's not that hard. It's not that hard, bro. But if they do that, then I'll do what it takes to make the enclosure.
Yeah.
Like, I want the animal, and then that's it.
One thing that's a little bit difficult that FDFC doesn't always, like, I don't know if they're taking into consideration or if maybe we could possibly push for this kind of consideration, the event of winter. So I have an outdoor enclosure for my Pectinata during the winter when it started getting colder. I'm like, I'm not going to keep putting this guy back out forth and forth and forth. So I put some lights inside, and I have an indoor enclosure, right? Okay. If you look at green iguanas, they have separate requirements for indoor versus outdoor enclosures.
Bro, you think they're checking that shit, bro?
I don't know.
No, they're not.
I don't know.
If it's contained indoors, it don't fucking matter. You're good,
I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it matters if it's indoors, dude.
If it's outside, you bring it inside in a fucking plastic tub. That's like transporting.
Yeah.
You're good.
Or do like a catio that's attached to your window.
No, but I'm saying like the enclosure, the requirements for like, you have to have the outdoor enclosure up to standard and you have to have the indoor enclosure up to standard.
But the indoor enclosure is not crazy. It's just an enclosure.
Behind
the door. I know for a tegu and like, I know for a tegu it's different. Tegu, they have certain requirements. Like they need double doors for the tegus. I don't know if the iguanas are the same way. And a double door inside iguanas, your own house.
Well, In the double door thing, the house counts as a door. So if it's a room, that's how Venomous works. You have the snakes there in a room, door one, house door, double door two.
Yeah, exactly. That's
it. I see.
That's contained.
Okay.
Yeah. So that counts as it. So, okay. Hey, listen, I'm going to chip my shit.
I mean, we're going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah,
we're going to do whatever it takes to keep Aloe, keep, I don't know, yours guys.
I don't know if it's a boy or a girl yet.
Okay. I don't think they care.
What do you guys think about this right here?
God damn it.
Okay.
God fucking damn it.
Jeez. Okay.
God damn it. Wild?
Yeah. I mean it's got to be wild. It's in the wild.
Where at?
I'm not sure where this was at.
Interesting.
Yo, that's crazy. That's crazy. Though.
An all white similis. Yes. Is it, can you zoom in on the eye? Is it out? Is it red?
I don't know. You can't really see it that well.
Where is it at, bro? Send me the fucking pin.
So, I think
what if that was in Miami?
What we're looking at looks like...
Send me the pin,
bro. It's an all white. It looks like Tinosaurus similis. Yeah, and it looks beautiful. It looks like a big anole. If you look at it from far away...
Bro, give me the goddamn pin. No, albinos don't survive in the wild, though.
That's a whole ass adult.
Okay.
That is an adult male.
Bro.
Yeah.
That is cool.
It can never survive, bro. Yeah.
That's crazy.
How did it grow up as a baby? They can't survive, dude.
Yosh, I'm gonna read.
Reptiles can never survive in the wild, like the moors and the albinos and shit.
If you want to support us, head on over to modernreptileshop.com or in the description where you can find our merch. And the best part is that 1% of the proceeds from the merch gets donated to conservation. One more time, that's modernreptileshop.com or head on over to the description. And then this came out. What do you guys think about it? Did you see it?
God, yes.
Yes. Oh yeah, dude, fire. All so right. Cool. You saw this, right?
What is that?
All right,
I don't see anything.
This is the
I'm not on Facebook. Okay, and I'm not on.
Tell them what it is.
You know the lizard that Conception is always telling you about?
Yes.
That's that lizard. I saw that and I was like, I need to send this to this guy.
They eat ants.
Cool. It's called a green thorny tail iguana. I'm gonna try my best.
That's gonna be banned too.
No, it's not in the game.
This is.
It's not even in the.
Eurocentron.
Yeah.
Azurium.
What?
I mean, that's one of the first. That's the only time I've ever seen one captive born.
Yeah, it's just
and that is an incredible. Well,
congratulations to that.
I got a little.
You gotta look at an adult.
They're fire.
They're fire. I like those a lot.
I got a little passage here. It's a small arboreal lizard, under 4 inches from the Amazon rainforest. You're so stupid. From the Amazon rainforest that feeds primarily on ants. Look, that's a picture of an adult right there.
They look like arboreal euros.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, super
But yeah, kudos. Whoever that was, shout out.
Good job, bud.
Good job, man.
I forgot her name. Maritza. That must have been rough. Is it Maritza?
I don't know.
Maritza.
So
Maria, bro. That's Maria. Not a hard name. Maria.
Grandma name. Yo, I love you. I love you. So when Ron sent me his friends to come to Wild Florida, she's one of them.
Oh, that's...
She's one of them.
Huh? She's in Florida?
No, when they came down for Daytona... Okay. There was a group of people of Ron St. Pierre's friends, and he sent them to my job, and I walked them around, and she was telling me about getting those.
Okay.
Very
and
cool.
Then she posted that. I'm like,
crazy.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay, so then scrolling through Facebook, I found this. What an from Sunshine Coast Snake Catchers. That's in Australia. What an incredible find. Last night, one of their employees was at a job site because they like they get called for like nuisance snakes and stuff that. They found 3 female carpet pythons on eggs in like
all back to back.
Oh, I saw back that to back. Picture.
Yeah. So look at this shit,
incredible.
Dude.
Incredible.
Group maternal.
Yeah, look. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That is so
cool. They're saying that. I mean, this is probably the only photographed picture of that ever.
Yep, that's so that cool. Is
awesome. Yeah.
Can I say something? Super
cool. Yeah, of course
lesbians.
You can.
Lesbians.
You're an idiot. That makes no sense.
No.
Single moms. It does make sense.
No, they're single moms. What he said.
Single moms.
Ooh. I was going to say something.
Don't say what you're going to say, buddy.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, is that parthenogenesis?
No. How is that anything close?
Because they're lesbians.
I
was trying to make a joke. My bad.
Hold on. I'm going to take over to fuck your ass up.
What do you
mean? Listen. Species of lizard. All lesbians.
Morning gecko.
No.
Well, they're males.
No, they're all lesbians.
Oh, I don't know.
Like true lesbians. Because they don't produce males. The males that are in the eggs die. And they can only produce eggs if the two females have sex.
Wait, what?
They can only produce eggs if the two females
have sex. How do they have sex? They scissor?
Yep.
For real?
Yes.
I was joking.
Actually, yeah, there is an instance where it's like simulating copulation.
Yeah.
And then they become... gravid because
and then it just
like one of the females
so you just gotta get horny enough and you can
that is
it. They're in Arizona and guess what?
That's cool.
They're technically a hybrid.
Interesting.
A locality of hybrid in Arizona or New Mexico or that area over there.
That is so progressive of them.
Yo, we're moving up, bro.
I know.
We're moving
These
up.
Reptiles are
listen,
crazy.
Listen. Crazy. I've been saying, you know, me and you have been arguing for weeks now over this shit.
Weeks.
Listen. Life in nature and reptiles, all of it, it's all liquid. It does whatever the fuck it wants, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's crazy. That would be fucking crazy. I sent you guys to a wolfin.
Yeah.
A wolfin.
You know,
wolfin.
Okay.
Say what a wolfin is. There's people that are
a wolfin is a dolphins and a false killer whale having a baby, and then that baby is fertile to have more babies.
Wolfin. Okay, but... let's be fair. There's no real distinction between whales and dolphins aside from size.
Okay.
Unless you're talking about baleen whales.
Yes.
What in which case they are different.
So you are admitting
whales. Beaked whales are still whales.
No, they're technically... They're
technically all dolphins except for the baleen whales.
Don't activate the special interest, Tino.
It's like saying... Hold up. There are on the toothy whales. So cetaceans. Dolphins. Yeah. So dolphins. Dolphins.
Oh,
right?
Toothed whales.
They're entire different group of dolphins. Not the same genus. Entire different families.
Right.
Like pilot whales.
It's like saying
It's
like saying fucking an alligator and a fucking crocodile had a baby.
A caiman.
Bro,
that's hilarious.
I'm fucking done.
That is so funny.
Speaking about caimans,
a gator and a caiman, actually.
Yes. Actually, I was gonna say one more thing about the carpet pythons. I sent you the article maybe last year about how carpet pythons in maternal incubation can sometimes like be endothermic.
Oh yes,
like
they can
somehow produce their own heat to warm up the eggs.
Yeah,
fire.
There's a couple of reptiles like that.
Yeah, tegus can do that too.
Tegus
can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think Burmese pythons do that too.
I heard something about that.
Yeah.
There's a few reptiles that can. Yeah.
That's wild.
So as we're saying, caimans. Look at this fucking. I think I sent this to you. The picture of the caiman eating the emerald tree.
That is a dwarf caiman.
Oh yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Yep.
Dwarf caiman. One of them. Let me see. That's one of the dwarf caimans.
He's not gonna know what it is. He's a liar.
I think it's a smooth.
That is what?
The smooth.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Common name. Trig.
I saw it.
I know it's from the
Yo, look at Dino over here.
That's what I don't know. I remember
that. It's a trig. So
trigonometry.
Not the smallest one, the second one. The second smallest.
Okay.
It might be smooth.
It says it right there, bro.
What?
Trigonatus.
Yeah.
Trigonometry. Bro, it literally says it in the fucking picture. Yeah.
But I don't know the common name. I just know that.
Okay. Wow, he's so cool.
So it's the second smallest, not the smallest.
Okay. He only talks in Latin names.
No, just that species because the common names is so many. It's like dwarf
caiman. It's like dolphin and whale.
No, way different.
Oh my god.
No, you guys at least are in the same genus. What are you talking about? They're literally in the same genus.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah, we
do. What common names? we were just saying how shitty common names are. We know how they are. Yeah. Common names don't mean anything.
They're like closely related. If those two had babies, it's like it makes sense. They're same genus, not that different, other than the scoot in the back and whatever. Let's keep going.
You guys wanna see?
Ah, that's dumb.
Some crazy fucking animals?
Sure, yeah.
Crazy.
Okay. I saw that one. I sent it to him.
Yeah?
What is this? I can't see very
tell us
well.
What it is.
Bro, you're blind,
yeah,
he's bro.
No, today I'm bad.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm bad today. I gotta start wearing my glasses for this.
You need to start praying more,
bro. It's a new year, new me, I guess. That right here, we are looking at a two-headed musk turtle.
Yeah.
I hope it lives.
It's got like I'll two separate much. Necks, too. Which
it looks
I think
like
means two separate
is...
brains.
Yeah, of course.
That's crazy. What are you talking? Are you two-headed?
We haven't looked inside of it. I don't know.
So you're going to say a fully formed skull with eyes that is doing everything, doesn't have a brain in there.
I don't know. Do you have an MRI of this animal? No.
Yes,
I have no idea.
I do. No.
Look, when it comes with Siamese twins or conjoined whatever, yeah, they're weird. I'm surprised that exists at all.
What are you going to call them?
It's weird.
Let me see that thing.
The anatomy is weird.
Are you calling them weird?
No, put that thing down, bro.
People are weird. Normal people are weird. Everybody's
weird.
Pain.
What do you mean, dude? Look, that guy's living his best life.
So, whenever I see two-headed animals, they've had like rat snakes be two-headed animals. We actually saw one at Daytona. Did you see it?
No.
They had a two-headed rat snake at Daytona.
I missed that one.
Yeah. Sometimes I do get it, like that little euthanasia come in, and I'm like, is this wrong? This feels bad. Because especially with snakes, sometimes they want to eat at the same time.
It depends, though. If like, I have one in my clutch, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm going to keep it. But I wouldn't breed for it, where people have tried to breed for stuff like that.
Yeah.
And people even breed stuff without eyes.
It's a little messed up, yeah.
Galapagos.
Yeah. Brian has a two-headed king snake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's somebody, I don't know how to explain this person to you, but Galapagos tortoises without eyes, they breed them.
Oh, messed really?
For fun.
Yeah.
For conservation or for the pecker?
For conservation?
Without eyes?
It's not.
Send them back to the Galapagos.
It's not. They'd be like this.
Look. Because when you talk about.
They don't see the destruction if you just.
Do you mean like actual Galapagos tortoises or tortoises from the Galapagos Islands?
No.
Because sometimes there aren't that many.
There
aren't that many specimens that you can go ahead and just afford anything that you want. You have to breed what you can.
Yeah, they're breeding Galapagos tortoises on purpose to not have eyes.
Oh, on what's purpose? That for?
Yes.
To have no eyes?
Yes.
For what reason?
For what?
Well, it's like that's the question.
Wait, hold on. You know, wait, I think something is getting phrased incorrectly. Are they breeding them like,
in spite of having no eyes?
No.
To have no eyes.
Why?
You'll know who they are. I'll tell you after this.
Okay.
You can say it. Why not?
No. We don't have to do that.
Especially
here.
Because of him. I won't because of him.
Oh, God.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, can you guys see what's wrong with this animal from the top picture?
What's wrong with this image?
Yeah. What's wrong with that image? Can you tell?
See, now I'm like second guessing myself.
Okay,
like,
but describe what you're seeing.
Oh, is it this?
No.
You want to see the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. I'm scared.
All right, I want you guys to come close so you guys can see it. All right. Ready? Ready?
Holy crap.
It has,
I still can't see it.
Bro. It has six legs.
What it has another one.
Fuck is that?
Is that still considered a chimera?
No.
No, it's a chameleon.
You're an idiot.
No,
a chimera is just when two things come together inside the belly. So it could still be that.
That's crazy. Does it have
I'm curious
to see if it has extra organs in there as well.
I think maybe incubation error in the DNA.
Not incubation error because there has to be two babies inside the eggs at the same
time. The eggs have to have fused.
Not necessarily.
They pairs at
sometimes if your DNA is just broken and you're coding for more legs than you're supposed to have.
Oh, you're right.
It could be that. Can denature in incubation attempts.
Biological glitch.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Watch. Someone's gonna have it and breed it to their siblings.
Oh,
I know.
They can do it on purpose.
100%.
I know somebody who would do that.
Oh, I know a couple of somebodies, bro.
Yeah.
All right. So, how do you guys feel about rear fang venomous snakes?
They're interesting.
I already know where you're going with this.
In terms of like what? I love them. They're cool.
They're cool.
Okay, they are cool. But how do you feel about everybody like putting them in the? They're all like in the same realm as this is a hog nose.
Okay,
no,
because it's rear fang.
I'll say this. When you look at Viperidae, okay, some are life-threatening, some are not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Elapids, for the most part, not usually the case. Usually most are life-threatening, but some aren't.
Uh-huh.
Some you can take an elapid bite and be okay.
Wait, which one, bro?
Colubrids.
Which one?
Coral snakes sometimes. People survive coral snake bites.
You hear this guy?
People have survived coral snake bites. It's not a death sentence.
A dry bite don't count.
No, bro. Yeah, that doesn't count. It's not a death sentence. But
brother,
when it comes to rear fang colubrids,
you heard that guy?
Some are life threatening. Some are very life threatening. You got like boom slangs. You've got African vine snakes.
I didn't
snakes.
Know that. But then you've got kill people.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned that like last week.
Yeah. What's awesome about its venom is that it's not unique, but it specifically targets the blood, so it doesn't clot. Usually, you have neurological venoms, which attack your nervous system. Obviously, you have cardiotoxins, which attack your heart. But this one is hemotoxic; it attacks the blood, so it doesn't clot. So you eventually just bleed out of every orifice.
That's what the Gaboon does.
Insane.
Just what the Gaboon.
Crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Even your Peter.
Yeah,
everything.
Every orifice.
All in your body.
Yeah, because your body can't hold the blood. Mm. Anyways, but yeah, you go to like hognoses, you go to racer snakes. People take bites.
I know somebody who got bit by a garter snake and swelled up.
I know someone who's allergic to racer snake venom.
Yeah, like, you know? Literally, his hand was like this big. Yeah, like swelled up.
I think there is very, very little research being done into this kind of these animals and their venom.
I think I've heard it way too many times where somebody will be like, oh, it's rear fang, so it's like a hog nose where if you're allergic to bees, then maybe it'll do something to you.
It's kind of like the Band-Aid solution.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Explaining.
But
yeah. All venom is different.
Yeah, all venom is fucking different, and this guy got fucking yeeted, so I'm going to read this a little bit. Okay, so back in 2013, this was from, it says, Rosie K. Moore. Okay, back in 2013, I was unfortunate enough to make a mistake with a rear fang colubrid, a rainforest cat eye snake, whilst on a conservation expedition with Indigo Expeditions. Okay, I'm not going to say exactly where it was. You guys could go look at that post. A few nights into the expedition, we encountered the rainforest cat eye snake, and while I was showering the snake, while I was showing the snake, I read showering. I'm fucking stupid.
He took it home.
I was like, wait, what was he doing? All right. As they were showing the snake, pretty much it bit the person's finger.
His thumb, I think.
Yeah. The mistake that they made, apparently they were handling a frog. And
then the snake.
Yeah, and then the snake, and I guess it because of the scent and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And within 10 minutes, the finger started swelling. Obviously, this person was in intense pain, like a burning pain, and... If you're watching this, like, you really fucking should, because I'm going to put up some of the pictures of what happened to this person's finger. But it's disgusting.
Yeah. No, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting factoid about boom slangs also. The guy... So the reason we know that boom slang venom can kill you is that a guy who was bitten by it in the field, and he chose not to go to a hospital.
I heard that.
He was like, nope, I'm going to document every single thing that happens to me right now. Up until he eventually died. And it's like... That's crazy. That's insane.
A colubrid.
Yep.
So what do you think? So in the pet trade, you know, that those species, those rear fangs are all over the place. You don't even need a permit to get. What do you think of that?
Okay, look. You don't need a permit to get a death stalker scorpion, and that is more of a death sentence. There are some scorpions that are super insanely toxic, and hospitals aren't really going to have – they're going to have no equipment to go ahead and handle this.
So, but don't you think –
And they're this big.
But maybe we should need something.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. If you're going to regulate venomous snakes, you need to regulate venomous scorpions.
Research is the only thing that is going to make any difference in that situation. Mm-hmm. That's the answer to, like, if those animals need, like, permits or anything like that. More research needs to be done with the animals to see what the venom does.
Uh-huh.
Because that's honestly what's going to put them into which bracket they
belong. Would you say in this case right here that animal should be a permitted animal?
That needs more research. Because that's... Probably the first time someone's documented.
That something's going to happen.
Well, yeah,
people. I've seen a post on Facebook where this guy let a hognose snake latch onto him and chew him, just like sink all the venom into him. I think it was a finger.
Okay.
Yeah. Just clarifying.
I needed
his finger, and he posted a picture. And this guy's on his soapbox. He's like, "This is why hognose snakes aren't good pets. Stop buying your kids hognose. These are bad snakes. These are dangerous. You know the whole thing." He took off his shirt and he shows his lymph nodes. Bruised, swollen, and it's like, well, dude, nobody's stupid enough to go ahead and just let there and sit there
venom
affects everybody differently.
How many kids go into a place and they're like, I want a hognose snake because it's cute?
But how many kids are sitting there with a vendetta this is fine?
Mind you, this is the parents.
I'm not gonna lie, I was on your side, but I'm gonna turn into stone real quick.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck.
Oh my God.
Like, that's not
you know, so
The parents bought it. Like, when that's on you, bro.
So FWC has banned five genera of colubrids, and like they need to be permitted.
Okay.
I do know them. I'm not gonna name them though, but it's just
Boom Flame, Mangrove, fucking
Typhus, Dengalophus. You've boy, got yeah. the African vine snake. I hate you. I hate you. Anyway, you can Boyga is one of them. You can look them up. You can look them up. They're everywhere. But there are some that aren't in those genuses. You've got like Toxocodrius that. At some, like, yes, they're still medically significant bites, you know? And if you happen to be allergic, good night. Oh, well. Bye-bye. You know, like, what are you going to do?
Permit.
The permit's going to...
But then you permit everything that potentially has venom because everything can potentially be medically significant.
But, Tino, wouldn't you say that everybody should have permits to own animals? That's something you've said.
Yeah. You're right. Actually...
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
All right, we're done. Yeah! Yeah. I am convinced.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I love that.
I'm convinced. Yeah. You should register your hog noses, guys.
Yo, Frenchie's like, no. He's like, you know what? Old me is right, yo. This new year, new me shit is bullshit, bro. Yeah. Yep. Bring that shit back.
So, that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand. They think venomous, they think deadly. They think this is really bad. Tarantulas are a good example. No tarantula on record has ever killed a person. Bees are a great example. They also have venom.
Ants.
Scorpions. You were stung by a scorpion. You've been stung by a scorpion here in Central Florida. Did you die? Ants. You're here. You're here right now. You didn't even go to the hospital.
Ants.
Ants are a great example.
Uncles.
Wait a minute.
You want to talk about it, buddy?
You got stung, buddy? Yeah.
So all these different animals have venom. It's like, what can you really do? It's just individual. It just depends on you. I think the fact that one person was bit by even, let's say, a hognose snake and they went to a hospital, it's not grounds to go ahead and be like, we're going to permit these animals now. They need a permit to go and have them, even though I do still believe that everybody should have a permit to have an animal. But I think that it's unnecessary.
There's nothing better than the smell of coffee in the morning. There's also nothing better than the smell of reptiles in the morning. Psych. Reptiles with coffee. That's the smell you want. The strongest coffee. Head on over to the description or go to coldbloodedcaffeine.com and use the code reptileswith to get your reptiles with coffee today. Do you guys know who Chameleon Academy is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Bill Strand.
Yeah.
Yes. So he has podcasts, multiple social media channels. He talks a lot about chameleons in general. Yeah.
He's my go-to rec if anybody wants to get a chameleon. Definitely check out the Chameleon Academy.
And he's also these days talking a lot about naturalistic setups, bioactive. So I wanted to show you guys this. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit – it's not very long. It's like a minute or so. And then we can talk about it after because I think he's speaks some facts.
Okay. The question may come up, why are we doing so much of this bioactive and naturalistic stuff? And is it really necessary? And I think the answer to that question is yes, it's the next stage of our evolution of herpetoculture. We've done a very good job of taking care of their physical needs. We can grow them up healthy, they can reproduce, and we can repeat this reliably. And if that's the end of how we measure success, then yeah, we've achieved success for many species. But as living beings, we have an entire life beyond just our basic biological functions. We require mental and intellectual enrichment. And there is no doubt that we see that in our reptiles. And we are getting a better understanding of the effects of raising a reptile in a sparse minimalistic environment where they don't have mental stimulation. It has lifelong effects. Now, if you're the type that won't be convinced until you have peer-reviewed scientific research studies, I'll say we probably have a long time to wait before you get convinced. Yes, it will be challenging because we can't put numbers to enrichment, but I feel it's critical that we start on this long before we're able to put numbers to it. And so, that's what I'm doing here at the Chameleon Academy. And it's great to have you coming along with me.
Respect.
What a guy.
Yeah.
But, okay, I want to make this distinction because I'm annoying this way. When we talk about enrichment versus bioactive.
Can't agree with nobody, bro.
Well, because a lot of people don't know how to argue. A lot of people don't know how to
how to argue, bro.
For instance, yes, obviously we know enrichment has positive effects on the animals. Bare enclosures are not good for animals. We know that. But that's a different argument than saying bioactive is necessary. It's completely different. You can go ahead and stimulate an animal and have them be enriched in their enclosures away from a bioactive tank, a bioactive system.
Working at a zoological facility, I will say that then the enrichment will be very temporary, and after that enrichment that you give them,
everything is just done. It goes back to boredom and nothingness.
A zoo is a little bit difficult because a lot of things are heavier. There's larger enclosures. Well, but no, in a smaller enclosure, you can change things. Even, you can move things.
Yeah,
you can do a lot more.
Not really. How long is that enriching the animal for? You're not encouraging the animal maybe to dig, climb.
It depends on the enclosure and the type of animal too.
At what point does that, what you're saying, moving around things, move away from enrichment into the stress category? Because that's also adding additional stress to the animal. I was actually talking to Eric about this not so long ago, that it's like you can do little things into the enclosure, but how often are you doing that?
Right,
is that
right.
stressing out the animal and not being a positive?
So instead, you also have to consider animals that have home bases, animals that stick around the same like 2 mile radius. They have dens that they usually go to, multiple sometimes. They're familiar with their environments and they can handle a falling tree. They can handle a whole bunch of things. They can't handle roads coming through there.
Yeah.
I can't... Very few animals are going to tolerate me moving their enclosure every single day and being fine with that. But at least once a month, they're like,
I don't think that's the same. Let's say you have a more bioactive enclosure. The animal chooses what its enrichment is. It could dig its own burrow, maybe. Maybe it can climb. Maybe it can swim. Maybe it can, like, whatever it is. He chooses what his enrichment is instead of, like, your hand being in there and forcing enrichment into it. And I think that's way better.
You have to meet the requirements of the enclosure as well. One of my biggest gripes with, so, like, let's say an Asian water monitor. It's not like, oh, I'm giving you a water bowl today. I'm giving you a thing to swim in today. No, he should always have the option to swim.
Yes.
You know, or snakes. They should always have the options to dig and bury themselves, that whole thing. One of the gripes I have with bioactive enclosures specifically is arid setups. Arid setups are very, very difficult to keep bioactive a lot of the times because there's not enough moisture. When you go to a desert, you don't find a lot of the same soil creatures as you do in a rainforest to take out those nitrates. You also don't find the same type of plants. You know, succulents and cacti are not pulling the nutrients out of sand and dirt that you think they are in the wild. A huge stabilizer for... ammonia and fecal matter in arid environments is the presence of flies. Flies can fly long distances. They don't have to be stuck to soil. They don't have to have a certain dependence on a close by water source or a constant water source. They can go find the water that they need to. And then they find the fecal matter, they remove it. All that, like, when we say bioactive, like, as much as you can try to replicate an ecosystem, it's super, super hard. And you need to be constantly in that enclosure, checking levels, checking humidity, checking soil, checking everything. You know, it's fungus, so much more fucking work.
Mites and shit.
Right, right. I don't think it's essential. I think you can have an enriched animal and give them a great quality of life away from bioactive. Of course, depending on the animals, because some animals, chameleons specifically, it's very, very difficult to keep a chameleon happy in something that's not very naturalistic.
Yeah.
In terms of like whether or not it's essential, I don't think it's essential. I think if people want to go ahead and do it, absolutely, go ahead and do it. Do the work, do the research, commit to it. You know, do the thing, give the best for your animal. But at the same time, it's like, it just because it's bioactive doesn't mean it is the best.
No, it depends how you do it. Like you said, it depends who, how you do it, and that also comes with research, which you said there's not much of. But I think it benefits them quite a lot. Like working with, let's say Max, the black throat. He was in a very small enclosure made mostly out of wood. And, like, we went in there. We got him out of the enclosure, run around. We fed him. Like, we did all that. But he's a whole different lizard now. That he has a large enclosure. Oh, he digs his own burrow, goes in the water whenever he wants, climbs a palm tree that's in there. Like, he chooses. Like, I walk around there, and he is just doing his thing.
Deciding what
he wants. Way different than where he was at, where, like, it was very sterile, and everything was a box, and we could put things in there, and he'll use it 2 minutes, and then... That was pretty much it. And just goes back. Like, he was just basking all day. Now he basks, but he's also, like, digging a burrow. We destroy the burrow. We put dirt on it again. He rebuilds it. Yep. Moves things around. Like, he is a whole different lizard personality-wise. And I feel like that is needed for a lot of animals that is not given to. Where, they can survive in a box with barely anything. And you could give them enrichment here and there. But the brain just turns on for those... 15 minutes that you give them and then turns off the rest of the day. So it's like, that's why I like the bioactive part of it. I have animals that I barely feed because I literally go in there and their body is just fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck, bro? I'm not even going in there and doing anything. Like,
right.
I go every now and then, but then if I do it, like, let's say I have a schedule weekly, I'll make my animals fat sometimes because everything is just eating whatever the fuck they find. And I'm like, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. As long as their body type. So I think there's a lot of benefit to it, where the other one, the only benefit is the animal's alive, but it's just bored out of his fucking mind in a box.
You still got to provide options. I don't keep most of my snakes bioactive. I don't. But I also think that a lot of the times enrichment, depending on the animals, doesn't have to be that extensive. You don't have to do a crazy amount. You don't have to, like, perform magic tricks for your snake.
And not exactly bioactive. It doesn't have to be bioactive, but...
Naturalistic.
Naturalistic. And naturalistic doesn't have to be with, like, isopods and all this bullshit. Like, it's just something that is more...
More
one I like yeah I like things that are aesthetic. Let's start there. It's but not only aesthetic enclosure. But different things to do. A good substrate, tons of things to climb, water. Like, it's not about, like, it could be fake fucking plants for all I give a fuck, but it still works. It can hide behind the plants, get over the plants. Actually, at work we have these big enclosures with venomous snakes. We had fertilance, and the fertilance are usually on the ground, and we have like a substrate there, and then we have tons of branches. They barely ever use the branches. So I had a little bit of free time. So I went around and I got bromeliads and I pulled them out of the ground and I tied them to the branches. Now they lay inside the bromeliads and they get water there.
Yep.
Like, I've seen them drink. They lay on them. They hide under the ones that I put on the ground. Yep. Like, before, they were just in these two corners. All day, I knew those snakes were there.
Yep.
I added plants. I find them all around the enclosure because now they have new things, new smells, like... more things to do. So I think it's very important. If you don't give it to them, you won't know that they needed it.
But see, that wasn't even that much. That wasn't that much. You didn't do a crazy amount for them.
I just added some plants.
I keep a lot of humid snakes, so sometimes I miss. I miss about like once to twice weekly. I try. When I do, those snakes are out. They're like, it's raining. Cool. You know, like, something different's happening, you know?
Yeah, but you have to be there for those things.
Yeah.
What about enrichment while you're not there? Where the snake is like just at the glass, just... True. You know what I mean? True. You know what I mean? For this guy, it's the tub.
I hate you.
He can see through the little thing at the end. He's like,
you know, so one of the, not to bring up the whole tub tank argument, but a lot of the times a lot of people say, oh, if a tub in the wild, if a snake was in a burrow and it was provided everything it needed, you know, the food was taken, fecal matter was taken out, the snake would never leave the burrow.
That's not true.
I tell everyone that that's the case. Open your racks and see if your snakes don't leave.
They don't. I
promise. No, they do.
They come out like this. They come out like this.
Yeah.
This guy.
They leave. They leave. They could be fat snakes that have already eaten. They've got You're water, everything. Clint. They still move. You're They're still like, right. I want to go ahead and explore.
Unless you have a burrow and you fucking close that shit. They can't leave. They can't leave.
You'll leave the gopher tortoises alone.
Oh, bro. My God. The gopher tortoises. You guys are the same way.
That was crazy.
The turtle people.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Wait, what about bioactivity for turtles, though?
What?
How do you do that?
What do you mean how you do that? Actually. I do want to bring one of my friends here, one of my coworkers, Peter. Bro, he made a crazy fucking pond for his fly river turtle.
Cool.
There was sand at the bottom. There was plants at the bottom. Yep. It was clear as fuck. Like, you could see all the way down. Yeah. And he had like the nice filters and everything. There was fish. There was shrimp. Yep. There was snails.
Bioactive.
Like, fire as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, fire as fuck. For real, for real. Like, I've never seen... Like, once I saw it, I was like, I want to do this shit.
There are also, like, in aquaculture, there's ways to make enclosures where you have a small, minimal bio load into the enclosure, and you can just live plant it, no filter.
Man. Yeah. Literally.
So cool.
And even, like, if you bring, like, aquascaping into reptiles and you put those two things together, boom, you got it.
Yep.
Like, I think that's the easiest one to do and the coolest one, honestly. Yeah,
it
Anything
is.
That's like aquatic.
Well, one of the things that's difficult is bio load. You, depending on how large the turtle is, how much fecal material is going into the tank, you have to have plants and you have to have like cleanup crew shrimp.
All you gotta do is go ahead and remove all that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what Peter had was a big, like, I don't know, I'm gonna take a guess and like say 300. Yeah, I got 300
circular?
Gallon. Yes.
300.
Yes, like a big one. Like, it fucking worked. Mm-hmm. It fucking worked. I think he says it. We need to bring him in.
If you're listening to this, you're a reptile lover, all right? And what do we all need? We need supplies. Head on over to imperialreptiles.com and use the code REPTILESWITH to get a specific discount special to us and our listeners for your reptile supplies today.
I have bioactive tarantula enclosures right now.
Fire.
With the ones I got from you. Like, plants in it, bro.
Sick.
For tarantulas.
My hentai are in bioactive.
What'd you call me?
For real? The three-shaped... Three-striped Senko bark scorpion.
I thought you said hentai.
Hentai.
I was like, buddy, this guy's name is
Hence. This guy's name is Hence. So there you hentai. Go. But yeah, they're in bioactive enclosures. I have philodendron micans.
How are the babies? What happened with that?
A lot of the babies, the initial babies I got, I lost them because I kept them on the wrong type of soil. I tried to do like outdoor soil, like soil from like outside. It didn't retain moisture at all. So a lot of them died through that forced molt. So like, all right. So then the next time I did...
Do you have any alive?
Right now, no. They're all past or they're gone. Some.
Damn. Yeah.
You didn't want to tell me the bad news. Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah. But it's okay. I still have the adults. So it's like...
I bred the centipedes.
You did? Oh my gosh. Jackson help you to...
Nope. I just put them together.
You just put them together? Oh my god.
I was like, said Battle Royale.
I said, let me see what... And then nothing happened. I was like, I'm going to keep them overnight. And then next day, I separated them. And then the day after that, I saw the webbing thing. And I was like, oh no, there's mold. And I remember I read the sperm looks like webs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And I grabbed the female and I put it in there. And she was like, showered in it.
Oh my God.
She showered in the cum, dude.
Yeah.
So that's how they do it.
Yeah.
I didn't know how they do it.
Yeah, and then they dance with one another. So I just left them overnight. I separated them. And now I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Cool, dude. Mm-hmm. Cool. Hell yeah. That's so crazy. Cool. You'll see. So how deep is the soil for them, for the female? You won't see
average.
Her. You won't see her. What she's going to do is she's going to make a little hole, a little burrow, and she's going to cuddle with her eggs and just like protect them until they eventually disperse.
I don't even, I know where, I can see her at the bottom right now. I can see both.
She's at the bottom.
Yeah, both.
Oh, then yeah, you can't see them. Yeah.
Fire. I just go like this.
Sweet, dude. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Listen, we're going to cut the episode here. We got Eric in front of the camera now. We fucking did it. You can see his beautiful face and his long hair. Right now. This was the Reptiles with Podcast.